Welcome to the Max Living Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Dr. Nick Wilson.
I'm Dr. Tracy Gross. On this podcast, we have conversations about health. We talk about what it is, where it comes from, and really how you can achieve it for yourself and your entire family.
Hey, I hope you really enjoy this episode on the Max Living Podcast. All right, Dr. Tracy, today we are discussing why one person gets sick and one does not. You know, there's this CNN article about these genetically identical twins, and it says that these twins were two peas in a pod, except when COVID-19 struck. So in essence, there's these two twins. Both of them get diagnosed with COVID. Both go to the hospital because they had breathing problems. One recovered, one didn't. One recovered very well, and one really suffered. They had the same medical conditions. The one who didn't recover actually did not have asthma. The one who did recover had asthma. Mm-hmm. And this was baffling. I read in the article that said scientists have been trying to solve this mystery of why some people get so sick while others don't. And there's a quote from Fauci in there, and there are others who talked about this. But it goes back to the question, why does one person get sick and why one person does not?
So we're asking the question, why does one person get sick and the other person doesn't? But also we have to ask a bigger question. Are we looking in the right places? Is it the virus that we need to pay all of this attention to? Dr. Anthony Fauci said himself in this article, I want to find out how it could possibly be that the same virus that's killed 570,000 people in this country is a virus in which more than half the people don't ever even get symptoms. So how does that make sense? How is it that a virus that people can be, quote unquote, asymptomatic carriers can also be extremely deadly to other people? Is it the virus that's the problem? Or is it the person and their individual health that we need to look at?
I saw in the article where they talked about same medical conditions. And as you said, we're looking in all the wrong places. If we're asking about medical conditions that can be diagnosed via some test, we're just looking at the expression of disease and not looking at how this person is functioning as far as their health. Mm. That's very different. Mm-hmm. You know, if you took any virus and you introduced it into a room full of hundreds of people, you know, you and I just got back from a seminar where there are hundreds of people in the room, right? And if we took a virus of any kind, the most pathogenic virus, one far greater than what we're seeing with COVID-19, and you introduced it into that room, there would be some people who would get sick, and there would be many who didn't. Mm-hmm. The question that we're asking a lot of in call it medicine or healthcare, I would not call what we're seeing right now healthcare.
No, neither would I.
But the question that we are asking and the questions are all about the virus. We want to know about the virus. We want to know about the strength of the virus. We want to know about where it came from. We want to know about what symptoms it causes. We want to know the variants about the virus. And it's all virus, 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 virus. Why are we not asking the question of what's the difference between Kelly, this twin who got sick, and Kimberly, this other twin who got sick, but Kelly recovered with all these additional medical conditions, and yet Kimberly didn't? Why are we not asking a question of, hey, some people get sick, some people don't. Why are we not studying the host? Mm-hmm. Why are we not studying the people who get exposed and recover very well, and they pretend as if it's random, if it's luck, as if the science has not been discovered yet?
Mm-hmm. And focusing so much on the strength of the virus, it's all distractions. It's all distractions from keeping us from doing the things that we need to build ourselves as strong hosts in the first place.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, it almost seems intentional. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems intentional. Like there's Hillary Clinton tweeted out, it's pretty simple, people. Get vaccinated, get your life back. And then she posted a link to vaccines.gov. Joe Biden tweeted out, the rule is now simple. Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do. The choice is yours. You know, it's just like, listen, you and I are not the smartest people in the world.
True.
Right? Why are we seemingly in the minority asking these questions about why do some people get sick, some people don't? And it seems logical to maybe study the people who don't get sick and study them as a host. What do they do different? Mm-hmm. You know, what is that room? We were just in that room full of hundreds of people. And the people look different than the average Americans. Mm-hmm. Do they not? When you look around the room, you're like, wow, people are pretty fit around here. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, there's some vibrancy. There's some energy. There's like some joy. It's just like when you walk into that room, it's like, you know, you walk in, it's like walking into church meets CrossFit gym. You know what I mean? It's like just a different universe. Mm-hmm. And the kids, you know, I love just seeing the kids there. And somebody mentioned that one of our guest speakers mentioned that just look at these kids. They're vibrant. They're healthy. They look at you in the eyes. And just if someone from the outside would have any interest in health and healthy populations, they might perhaps come into a room like that and say, hey, what do you guys do different? I want to know what you're doing different. How many of you got COVID? Oh, some of you got COVID. How many of you recovered beautifully? All of you. Great. Well, what in the heck do you guys do different than the rest of the world? Why do some people recover and some people don't? That would be a great fundamental question that we should be asking right now that is absolutely being ignored. And I'm to the point where I'm thinking, this is intentional. Like, it's so clear as day. Some people get sick, some people don't. You are intentionally ignoring this, or you've been sold out, or even brainwashed to another system that you just don't even think or consider the other side. You just name call, right? Mm-hmm. As you can tell, I mean, maybe I'm coming from a place of frustration, but maybe, just maybe, there is some intention behind this. And if you're going to maybe exit that system, you're going to have to be intentional about exiting that system, because the way that they are asking questions is all about the strength of the virus. It's all about, hey, is there a new variant to come? You know, is there something different that's going to happen here? We haven't yet figured this out. Yes, you have. If you ask the right questions, you would figure it out. Mm-hmm. They're not asking the right questions. Mm-hmm. And maybe they don't want to ask the right questions. I don't know. But I think it's obvious, though. Some people get sick, some people don't. There is a difference between those who get sick and those who don't. It's how their bodies are functioning. And that's built by what you do throughout the course of your lifetime. That's health is not by accident. It's not by some genetic chance. It's not just based off of some variant or variant that you were or were not exposed to. Health is built from the inside out, intentionally, over time, with what you do. And that choice, what's brilliant about the body, is yours, and it can be made in an instant, and you can redirect your path at any given time. But if you're just worried about hand sanitizing, if you're just worried about, you know, what the next virus is going to be, if you're worried about what the next headline on the news is going to be, you're never going to get there.
Mm-hmm. Going back to that room, let's say person enters into that room where all of those people were and asks that critical question of what do you do differently? What makes you healthy? They would find really simple answers. I mean, collectively, the people in that room, they are intentional about the things they put in their body, the food that they eat. They're intentional about moving their body, about exercising. They take care of the one system that controls all of the healing in their body, which is their nervous system, mm-hmm. on a regular basis. And ultimately, they choose to not believe lies and not give in to fear.
And some people are like, how the heck do you know that, Dr. Tracy? How do you know all those people? There's like 600 people in this room. So I want to paint a picture for you. Picture 600 other people, kind of like Dr. Tracy and I, all gathering together in Orlando, Florida, high-fiving, hugging. These are max living people. These are max living doctors. These are guest doctors throughout the world. They weren't just there's a couple of pediatricians there who think like us, naturopaths who are there that think like this, presidents of schools. And it's just a special group, mm-hmm. for those who may think like this. Maybe it's not a special group for those who don't, right? Maybe that's right. Like you walk into that and you're more whatever. You wouldn't enjoy this conference if you love the fear of COVID and you love your masks. You would not enjoy this conference. Yes. At all.
Well, regardless, it's a group of people that have chosen to exit that conventional way of thinking. And I would argue, you would argue that they're better for it because we're not stuck in the idea of what's the next headline going to be? What is the updated numbers on the virus? We've chosen to take control of our lives. And the thing about it is that's not something that an elite group of people can do. It's not set apart for any particular person or way of living. You can choose that lifestyle as well. You can choose to not give in to the fear, and you can choose to take control of your health too.
That's right. Because health is a choice.
Right.
Ooh, does that sting a little bit? I think that's controversial right now, that health is a choice.
Also, I want to take it a step further and say that health is your choice. It is not a choice that anyone can make or should make for you.
Because how could they? Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. Did the CDC dictate what I was going to eat or not eat for breakfast this morning? Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. How could they? How could they? How in the world can one size fits all medicine ever work if you can't dictate decisions? Mm-hmm. You're not going to. You can't dictate decisions. They're trying to dictate genetics, but they're never going to be able to determine people's habits. And that's why one size fits all medicine. And the reason why you and I are just like, that's never going to work. We know it's never going to work. It's definitely nothing we're going to ever adopt. But I think that not everyone sees that because maybe it's just lack of education or not asking the right questions, or it's just that they've been told that health is not in their hands, that it is because of genetics, or it is, you know, mom and dad were sick, so I'm going to get sick. You know, every time I go to the doctor, they ask me about cancer because my grandfather and grandmother had cancer. My brother and sister both had cancer. One of them died. You know, that's just, it's the common story that you hear.
Absolutely. And you can choose to stay in the conventional medical system. If that's where you're comfortable, if that's where you want to live the rest of your life, that is your choice. But you also deserve to know that there's another choice out there.
And I like that you say there's another option. Something that coming back from the seminar, there's a pediatrician who spoke at this seminar. And, you know, here he is, a guy who, you know, you'd say he's really fought against the system for a long time, but he would argue that he never is fighting against the system. He's just going a different direction. Hmm. Right. And he's become a friend now. And I was talking to him about that. Like, come on, tell me more about that. Because here's a guy who's given informed consent for his patients over the years, meaning he's given the risks and the benefits and alternatives to specifically drugs and vaccinations and antibiotics and anything. So he tells both sides of the story before he's would give it. And he's a guy who's has delivered vaccines before and has given antibiotics before. But he doesn't do that on a regular basis. And he doesn't, when you study him based off of the other pediatricians in his area, he's just so happens to not do it on the scale that they do it, not even close. And he's caught a lot of backlash for that. Like the medical board coming after him, the insurance companies coming after him. They tried to remove his license. And I just asked him, hey, like, how does that feel? Like, that's got to wear on you, like that constant attack and just, you know, the threat of losing your license and all these things. And you're just trying to practice, I said, good holistic, good holistic pediatrics is what I said. Mm-hmm. And he said, number one, I don't practice holistic pediatrics. He said, I practiced good medicine. Hmm. He said, there's a difference. I learned this in school in the 90s on how to take good care of people. And I've never changed. The system is what changed. Hmm. And he said, over time, I've learned that you don't change things by fighting the current system. You work to create a better system. Now, you and I are biased because we practice in that what we consider better system of healthcare. You know, we teach people how to live. We teach people how to think about health and real health and how to not fear their bodies, how to not fear the next disease, how to build a growth mindset, how to be strong-minded, you know, how to make sure that you're not exposing yourself to threatening chemicals and putting materials into your body via food that is going to cause damage and inflammation. This is what we teach patients. This is what we teach people. We teach people how to properly take care of their nervous system by supporting good alignment and a properly moving spine. You know, we teach people how to exercise the right way. We make sure that as our patients understand this, that that nutrition, that good quality nutrients going into the body makes the body, makes up the body. And that what you put into your mouth becomes your body. And so, you know, so we're biased when we say, yeah, we've got some things figured out. Do we have all things figured out? No, I don't think so. But when a patient walks into our doors, we're looking for the cause of their problem. And we're starting from a place that their bodies are brilliant, that they're designed to heal. And we start from that place that you're designed to heal, they're much more likely to heal from the inside out, to get to the cause of their problem, to explore and not to just accept the current reality as it is, because the body is not fixed. It's just not. And what I mean by that is that the body is not set in stone, as if that there's nothing you can potentially do to change this outcome outside of a pharmaceutical intervention or a surgical option. Mm-hmm. It's a very different approach. Yeah. We say the body's more like a fountain than a sculpture. It's not fixed like a sculpture where you cut things off and you add to it. No, the body is constantly regenerating itself. Mm-hmm. You get a whole new stomach every 6 months. You get a whole new set of skin cells between every 3 and 6 months. You get a whole new set of red blood cells every 120 days. Mm-hmm. The body is constantly recycling itself. It's constantly regenerating itself. It's always moving towards health and vitality and 100% function. It's trying to heal. It's trying to adapt. You turn up the temperature in your room right now, and guess what your body's going to do? It's going to sweat. So do what? Cool your body down. When you get exposed to something that shouldn't be there and your body's fighting, guess what it does? It cranks the temperature back up, called a fever. Should we go in and should we try to reduce the fever when the body's fighting off bacteria or fighting off a virus? No, it's doing a good thing in your body, right? Mm-hmm. When you're shivering, think about this. You're shivering to the point where you're so cold. We did ice baths here a few weeks ago, and you get out, and the body was, my body was shivering, right? My lips turned blue. Would it be appropriate to give me a drug to stop the shivering? How about we just go and paint my lips red instead of blue? Is that the right answer? For no, because the body's doing a good thing, not a bad thing. And when you look at it and address it in a way that the body is brilliant, it's perfectly designed. I say that intentionally because it's very counter to what you're hearing right now. When you look at it from that perspective, you give the body the opportunity to heal. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think we see the outcomes that we see.
Yeah, absolutely. You can say that we're biased, but I would argue that we have just seen so many people's lives turn around that it's a no-brainer at this point. Like, it just makes so much sense.
We're just right.
I have seen far too many people come in and they've tried the conventional medical route, and it's gotten them nowhere, quite honestly. And so many people come into our office and they always say, this is my last shot. This is my last resort. I've tried everything else and I need a different approach. That is 9 times out of 10 what I hear. But people choose to trust their body and then they get better outcomes. I was talking to a patient last week who she just started a month ago. And I remember when she came in, she was having horrible headaches constantly. She'd had them since she was 15 years old and she was 27. Mm. So for 12, is that right math on that? 12 years.
He told me there'd be no math during this segment. I don't know.
12 years. Imagine that. Constant headaches. It was affecting her work. It was affecting her ability to be with her family, her relationships. And she was a high achiever. So her biggest thing was, I can't let this affect my work. I can't let this affect my team anymore. Can you imagine not only not being able to do the things that you want to do, not being able to do your work or do the things that you love, but also to be in pain constantly for 12 years. She said that she had just gotten used to it.
Can't imagine that.
And whenever I hear that, it absolutely breaks my heart, because you deserve better than to be in pain for your life.
Especially somebody like that, who they're trying everything to heal. Like they're trying to do anything under the sun that they can get their life back, because mm-hmm. I mean, I sprained my ankle a few weeks ago and I was so annoyed. I was trying to make it heal so much faster because I've got this race coming up, mm-hmm. but I couldn't do hardly anything that I wanted to do. I couldn't walk around my yard. I couldn't walk my property lines without re-rolling my ankle. Can you imagine having daily headaches where you just can't function? And that's not a few weeks, like a like an acute injury, like an ankle sprain. That is chronic at this point. And at this point, you just, what are you going to do? Because this seemingly is now becoming a part of you. And right. How many people have, like, their condition or their symptom becomes a part of them because there's no hope.
And then they take that identity on for themselves. But in Sarah's case, she had tried a lot of other things. She tried the conventional medical route. It wasn't working for her. She went the naturopathic route and was taking herbs and supplements and still wasn't doing anything for her. But it wasn't until she got her nervous system checked. We took x-rays. We did a nervous system scan. We figured out exactly where the problem was coming from. 4 weeks later, she hasn't had a single headache.
4 weeks.
4 weeks.
And she's been dealing with this for 12 years.
Yes.
How's she feeling about that?
She is elated. She did not realize just how much life she was missing out on. And she's so excited for her future.
Because it's not about, like, I can only imagine, it's not about just like feeling better. Like, everyone wants to feel better. But, you know, I tell patients this all the time because healing takes time, right? And some people are like, 4 weeks, I can take a pill and feel a little bit better. Well, here's the deal. There's a lot of ways to just feel better temporarily. But the goal is to get to the cause of the problem, start correcting the underlying problem, right? You could go down, you could drink a big bottle of wine and feel great temporarily, right? But you want to get to the cause of the problem. So talk to me about headaches. So if there's someone who has headaches, like Sarah, as an example, what do you find is some of the underlying causes of headaches that are oftentimes ignored?
Biggest issue with headaches is misalignment in the upper cervical spine. So the top two bones in the neck, called atlas and axis, or C1 and C2, those bones are very commonly misaligned on most people. They're very easy to misalign. Happens from accidents, injuries, sports, even from bad posture over time, which is a very common thing that we're seeing now, especially with texting and cell phones. And I think text neck is now like a clinical diagnosis.
It is text neck. And now they should call it Zoom neck because people are at their kitchen tables for the past 18 months doing Zoom meetings and bent over and they're on their laptop. So the ergonomics are just terrible. And so think about that. Think, hold, like, if you ever hold a bowling ball, right?
Yeah.
You ever go bowling?
Yeah.
All right. So I like to picture it like this. You hold a bowling ball. If you were just to like hold a bowling ball up like a server, like you're carrying a tray, like a server, you know how a server will carry a tray like of waters to you. Picture that tray now being a bowling ball. And now what you do, that's your head. So that represents your head. You're carrying around this bowling ball on top of your neck, right? All day long. And now all of a sudden you're gripping that bowling ball and now all of a sudden put it straight out in front of you. Right. So now your arm is extended, your elbow is extended. Like, you're not going to be able to hold that bowling ball out in front of you for very long. What's going to happen? Those muscles in the back of your arm, they're going to start spasming. They're going to go crazy on you. Eventually, your arm is going to start quivering and eventually those muscles are going to give out on you. Now, here's what's happening is that we're walking around with this bowling ball on top of our heads and we're doing life unintentionally causing stress on the back of our muscles, but it's more with the head. It's more than just muscles. You know, those individual bones, those little, I call them Jenga pieces. I don't know why I always go back to Jenga. I feel like that's just,
they fit really nicely together.
They do. So picture, you know, these little Jenga pieces, you have these 24 individual movable bones in your body. And at the very base of your skull, where your skull meets your neck, there's those two bones that Dr. Tracy was just mentioning, the C1 and C2. C1 was that bone that Christopher Reeves made famous. You remember him? He was who?
Superman.
So yeah. When he fell off his horse, he hit his chin. That top bone of the neck slid forward. It damaged the spinal cord and boom, everything below that shut down. Now, Christopher Reeves, he didn't have headaches. His bones shifted too far and actually dented the spinal cord itself. But neurologically, and this is the point, this isn't just muscles in your arm. These are bones that are out of place in the neck that can cause tension and stress and damage to the spinal cord and those nerves. And yes, the symptoms might be headaches because those nerves go up into the head. Those blood vessels go up into the head. Those tension can be uncomfortable. But it's more than just discomfort, right? Those nerves, remember Christopher Reeves, he ended up, what did he have? He had heart issues because the vagus nerve there controls the heart. He had irregular and disrupted bowels because mm-hmm. of everything flows from above down. So from the brain goes down the spinal cord and out through the nerves. So he had to have a machine to move his bowels. He had to have a respirator to pump his, you remember he was in that chair that really kept him alive for 7 years. Mm-hmm. And what he actually ended up passing away from was an immune system problem, right? Because there's no special machine to move and stimulate your immune system. But what most people don't understand is that when you damage the nervous system, you also damage the immune system. Mm-hmm. So your immune system is then affected. It's a neuroimmune response. Mm-hmm. And so for somebody who's dealing with headaches, that's just a symptom of an underlying condition, right? So it's like a very, very much like a check engine light that goes off in your car. You know, those headaches, we don't have a check engine light or check spine light that goes off on our forehead. That's what symptoms are. Mm-hmm. And those check engine lights are to tell you to do what? Check the engine. Something's gone wrong. Right. But too often we just cover up that symptom and keep going on because the symptom is the problem for most people, but it's just a warning sign of a bigger issue. Mm-hmm.
And everything that you were saying before about getting to the root cause of the problem, you do that by checking the nervous system. We honor symptoms. We value symptoms because they are that warning sign. So to cover them up with a medication or a bottle of wine, that's not going to produce the long-lasting effect. That's not going to truly get you healthy. So that's why we take it back to the centralized source. We figure out what's the root cause here, because when we address the problem there, that's how symptoms resolve. That's how your body heals and it functions at its highest level. And that's what true health is.
Hey, I want to let you know about a new and exciting feature that we have to answer your questions. You've got questions, maybe we've got answers, and we've got a great way for you to submit your questions. So what you do, you have questions. Maybe it's about your health. Maybe it's about supplements. Maybe it's about next steps that you need to take, or you have just questions about something you heard on an episode. What you do is you go to dr-wilson.com. Click on podcasts and you can record your customized message right there. Keep it under 90 seconds and Dr. Tracy and I will answer your question on upcoming shows. So go to dr-wilson.com and submit your audio question and listen for your answer.